us open our Bibles today again to the letter of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3, and beginning with verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I acknowledge to God the Holy Spirit this past week as I prepared this message my need of His help. I know that all Scripture, as we read earlier, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that's my prayer every time I stand in this pulpit, every message that I bring, that the message will be profitable for each and every one of us. And I know that without His help, without God's help, that will not be the case. So I encourage you to pray for me that as I study and prepare these messages, that God will lead and guide me and anoint me as I bring the word, that it may be profitable to all of us. Now, in these verses that we've just read, as I read over them several times, I saw these three topics which we have already seen in our studies here in James. The first is the tongue. Let me point these out to us. The tongue, we see that in verse 8, but the tongue. Now, if you look back to chapter 1 and verse 26, we've already seen this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then in verse 17 of our text, we read of wisdom, but the wisdom, and we've run into that before also in chapter 1 and verse 5, where the apostle said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. And then also in verse 17 of our text, but the wisdom that is from above. Every good thing comes from above. Remember, James said that in chapter 1 and verse 17 when he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I was reading this past week in 2 Chronicles where they dedicated the temple that Solomon had built, the temple of the Lord. And this stood out to me, this verse of Scripture. When they all were there in Jerusalem and they were dedicating that magnificent building, and Solomon confessed that it was impossible to build a building whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, that he dwells not in temples made with hands. But the scripture that stood out to me was this: when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the fire descended down to consume the sacrifices that were being offered that day, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, God is good. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God is good. When we look around us in this world, and it is God's world, it is his creation, we see a lot of evil, a lot of bad, a lot of things because of the curse of sin. You cannot turn on your news and listen to the news or watch the news and not see all of the evil things, the bad things in this world. God is good. Can we even imagine when that day comes, and it will come for all of us, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, can we even begin to imagine what it will be like to be taken into the presence of him who is good, and everything in his presence is good? There will be no more evil because the curse will have been removed. The scripture says there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. Because where God is good. And in his presence, only good may dwell. What a blessing that's going to be. Paul said a crown of life is reserved for me, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Now, I want to build my message this morning around these three topics: the tongue, wisdom, and every good comes from above. So first, the tongue, verse 8. The tongue, James tells us, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue, with God, all things are possible. Our Lord said that. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said that. He said, with men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now, James says, the tongue that can no man tame. And in effect, what he is saying is that with man, it is impossible to tame the tongue. But our Lord said, with God, all things are possible. So that tells me that yes, though by myself and in and of myself, it is impossible for me or for any other person to tame the tongue, with God, all things are possible. By the grace of God, which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord, yes, the tongue may be tamed. Now, our Lord said this, as we think about the tongue being tamed by God, I want to remind us that our Lord emphasized that the tongue, it only reflects what's in the heart. That's it. Our Lord said that on several occasions. Let me give you three examples. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, the tongue, speaks. And then he said, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. The emphasis I want to call our attention to is our Lord, over and over, he tells us that what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. And James tells us The tongue no man can tame, but our Lord said, with God all things are possible. Another verse he said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. How then is the tongue to be tamed by the grace of God in Christ? Well, let me give you three things. First of all, a new heart is necessary. Isn't that right? If our Lord says the tongue speaks out of the heart, and if our heart is evil, then the only possible thing that's going to come out is evil. You go to the grocery store and you buy one of these 2 liters of Coca-Cola and you start pouring it out, what's going to come out? Well, Coca-Cola. What's in the bottle? That's what's going to come out. And so if our heart is evil, then out of the heart the mouth speaketh. The first thing that is necessary in taming the heart is a man, a woman must have a new heart. Now, you can't make yourself a new heart. Now, I know God tells you to do that. He tells you, make yourself a new heart. But he tells you that to show you and to show me the impossibility of it. No man can make himself a new heart. A new heart is a gift. It is a gift from God, and it is a gift that is given in the new birth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth is a necessity. Every person must have a new heart, and that new heart is received in the new birth. That's when we are given a new heart. And in the letter of John, 1 John, the heart is also called the seed. He said, his seed that cannot sin. This new heart, this new nature, this seed, this nature of God that is impressed or stamped upon us in the new birth, it cannot sin. So, in order for the tongue to be tamed, a man, a woman, must have experienced a new birth. Must have received a new heart. Have a new nature. Without that, the tongue cannot be tamed. I have a friend, I haven't seen him in a number of years, but he used to like to tell this story. You know, there have been monasteries where the monks took vows of silence. And he told about one in which once a year, all through the year, 364 days of the year, no one could speak. But on one day in the year, one person was allowed to speak. And so, this particular year, this man, his opportunity was to speak, and he stood up and he said, the mashed potatoes in this place are filled with lumps. Sat down. 364 days later, another monk was allowed to speak. He stood up and said, there's too much complaining in this place. The heart. A person has to have a new heart in order for the tongue to be tamed. With man, it's impossible. The new birth is impossible with man. Nowhere in the scripture are we told how to be born again. Now, I know preachers, they like to tell you how to be born again, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. Christ didn't tell us that. What he told us is you must be born again. Well, not only is it necessary that we have a new heart if the tongue is going to be tamed, but number two, we must have a new spirit. And you read that promise of the new covenant in Ezekiel chapter 36, and you see that along with the new heart, God promises to give a new spirit. And that new spirit is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within. Do you ever just stop and meditate and think upon the fact that your body, if you are a child of God, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives in you. I think I've read Charles Spurgeon say one time that he could not imagine which was the greatest, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, or that God the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. But truly, both are great. A new spirit is necessary, God the Holy Spirit, because it is the grace of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, that enables us to use this tongue for God's glory. And the third thing that I would mention, not only is a new heart necessary and a new spirit, which is God the Holy Spirit, but a new purpose must be practiced. Did you hear the words of our Lord I read just a moment ago when he said, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So then if we purpose to have our tongues used for the glory of God, what is necessary? What must be in our heart? The abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What must be in our heart? The Word of God. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Out of the abundance of the heart, well, if our heart is filled with the Word of God, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it will speak good things, well things. What do we put into our hearts? That's a good question, isn't it? What do we put into our hearts? Do we put the Word of God in our hearts? Do we hide it in our hearts? Do we put the messages of grace in our hearts? Are we faithful in attending upon the Word of God, hearing the Word? Is the message of Christ, is that what we are constantly putting into our heart? Look with me in Philippians. Keep your place here in James, but remember this scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, what are we going to put into our heart? That which is true. What did our Lord say? Thy word is truth. Thy word. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. The Word of God is honest, isn't it? It is honest with us. It doesn't cut any corners. It tells us exactly what is true about ourselves. It doesn't flatter us in any way. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are good, of a good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Put these things into your heart. But the opposite of all those things, if we put that into our heart, then surely out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and it's going to speak that which is not good. Listen to these verses from Proverbs chapter 6. And the context is the Word of God, the commandments of the father and the mother, which is speaking, of course, of God's Word. But the proverb says, bind them continually upon thine heart. This is where we must put the Word of God, in the heart. For out of the heart the mouth speaketh. For out of the abundance of the heart, bind them continually upon thy heart. And tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And I'm not adding to the Word of God, but couldn't we also say, when thou talkest, when thou talkest, it will help thee. it will help thee to control that tongue which is a little member, but may be set on fire of hell. Think about the blessing that you have received from the tongue. If you are here this morning and you have been saved, you heard the gospel from the tongue of some man. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? The tongue, as James has already said in this chapter, is a small member. And it may be used for the greatest of goods or for the greatest of evils. And so I would challenge all of us here this morning once again to be serious about our tongues, to fill our hearts with his word, so that out of the abundance of our heart, the word of God, we may speak. And then if you notice in our text, James, he tells us in verses 9 through 12, how unnatural it is. Out of the same hole, that's literally what the word is here, the same hole, there comes out salt water, bitter water, and fresh water at the same time. That's just unusual, isn't it? That just shouldn't be. And that's what he's saying, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. We come here and we bless God, we praise God, and with the same tongue, then we curse, we rail upon some other person who is made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth, the same hole, proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, that the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we're reminded again this morning about the tongue. The second thing that I see is wisdom in this passage of Scripture. If you notice in verse 13, James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord described a wise man. Who a wise man is, who a wise woman is. A wise man is not a person who builds his house upon the sand. Wise man is one who builds his house upon the rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? John Gill made this interesting comment on that verse. He said, the first lesson in the school of spiritual wisdom is for a man to know that he is a fool. That's the first lesson, according to John Gill. The first lesson in the school of spiritual wisdom is for a man to know that he is a fool. Now, as I thought about that, this is the way I would understand that. To this point, before he's been a fool, but to this point, if he is given wisdom from this point or at this point, he begins to act out that wisdom before he has acted as a fool. Because the scripture says the fool has said in his heart, no God. And there's a time, some of you are still living in this time, when what you are saying is, no God for me. No God for me. All of us have lived there until the Lord delivered us, until the Lord came to us in his mercy and grace and gave us wisdom and knowledge. to that point, we lived as a fool. What we said is, no God for me. I will run my own life. I don't need God. That may be all right for some people, but not for me. I don't need God. I can take care of things on my own. We have acted the part of a fool. But at a point in time, when God comes to us in His mercy and grace, and we are born of the Spirit of God, we began to reason and say, what a fool. What a fool I have been. I've been living every day, and I give no thought to my soul. I give no thought to eternity. I give no thought to the fact that one day I'm going to stand before God Almighty. I've lived as a fool. I've lived like a beast, like an oxen, like a calf out in the field. They're out there feeding. There's 10 calves in the field, and they're eating the grass. And the man comes one day, and he cuts one of them out from the herd and takes it away. It's gone off to be slaughtered. And the other nine, they don't think about it. Just more grass for them. Many times the Lord has taken away maybe someone close to you. Something's happened in your life. And as a fool, you give it no thought. This entertainer that died a few weeks ago, I have heard on the news, they're not sure how much his estate is worth. One estimate that I have seen is $150 million. But on the news, they asked this one man, who I believe was this man's lawyer, do you mean to tell me that he had no will? That he lived and he accumulated all that wealth and he's now dead and there's no will? And they asked this man, why is that? And the man responded like this, honestly. He didn't think he was going to die. That's the reason. He didn't think he was going to die. Well, you think that's funny, but there's myriads of people all around us who give no thought to the fact that, yes, there's going to come an end to the life in this world for me. I'm not going to escape. Wages of sin is death, and I'm going to die. And when I die, that's not the end of it. I'm not like one of those calves out in the field. No, I've got a soul. And one day, when I leave this world, I'm going to appear in the presence of God. And I will be called to answer for my life. And who's going to answer for me? You've heard people say, well, I tell you what I'm going to tell God. I'll tell you what you're going to tell God. Zip. Zero. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself and think you're going to tell God this, that, and the other. No, no. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. This wisdom, I was looking for something earlier, and I ran across this in my desk. We've all heard of Patrick Henry and his speech that he gave early in the history of our country, when those famous words, he said, give me life, give me liberty rather, or give me death. I have his words that he spoke at the end of his life when he made out his will. Now, that was customary at that time. Men would wait to the last, and they'd make out their will. Patrick Henry made out his will, and this is what he said. I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There's one thing I wish that I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had that, and I had not given them one shilling, they would be rich. And if they have not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor. Amen and amen. And we all wish we could give Christ. Christian religion, that's the religion of Christ, right? The religion that is based only, solely upon Christ and His work. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? The knowledge that this man is given, first of all, is to know himself. I know myself. I know what I am. Doesn't matter what I feel, I know what I am because God tells me, and that is, I am a sinner. I know that I cannot do anything to please God, not in and of myself. I just cannot do it. Why? Because everything I do is tainted with sin because I am a sinner. I know that. And I know this man, he knows that it is only through the person of Jesus Christ our Lord and Him satisfying God's strict and holy justice that He may forgive someone like me, a sinner, and receive me into glory. This is the knowledge. Now, James says that such a man who's given this knowledge, a wise man who is given this knowledge, then he should show his faith by his works, his good conversation. Look at the verse again. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We know from the Word of God that the enemies of the gospel of the sovereign grace of God have always responded the same way, and they still do. Preacher, do you mean to tell me that a man is saved by faith in Christ alone? He's not saved by his works, by his doing? Are you saying that a man is saved only by the doing and the dying of Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. Well, if you say that, then men will live sinful lives. That's always been the charge of lost men against the gospel. James, as well as the Apostle Paul, tells us that is not a possibility. Why? Because a man is now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he is to show, out of a good conversation, his faith. And he will. There's no question about it. Now, the third topic here is that which is good comes from above, that is heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above, remember in the first chapter we looked at it, James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James here describes this wisdom that God gives. Now I know, and some of you may be thinking right now, well, isn't Christ the wisdom of God? Yes, He is. Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified, and it is Christ, the eternal Son of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ is both the wisdom and the power of God. But this wisdom that James here describes is a wisdom that God works in the hearts of His people. They mention seven things about it. Let's go through them quickly. First of all, this wisdom is pure. Our Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart. Remember, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Blessed are the pure in heart. And out of the heart, the mouth will speak words that are pure, words of comfort, words of encouragement. And I would encourage all of us, encourage one another. There's many ways that we encourage each other, and we need encouragement, all of us do. Encourage one another. Some people are always dragging you down. They're always so negative. Well, there's plenty of negative things I see in this world, don't you? But there, we need to be encouraged in those things which are positive. Christ, this wisdom is pure. It's pure. Number two, this wisdom is peaceable. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God, and therefore we live in peace. Peace in our homes. I can't imagine some homes where there's continuous turmoil and discord. Husband against wife, and wife against husband, and parents against children, children against parents, and all of that going on. This wisdom is peaceable. Person is given this wisdom, he has peace with God, and he desires to live in peace with others, not always finding fault with other people. You know, some people, they just have to answer. They just cannot respond. They cannot keep from responding. Sometimes the best way to control the tongue is to clench your teeth and shut your lips. And do not respond to everything that you hear. This wisdom is gentle. One of the writers said, here is a true gentleman or gentlewoman. This is the fruit of the Spirit as related in Galatians 5. And remember this, Paul spoke of the gentleness of Christ. He was a gentle person. He wasn't in the streets crying. Remember the verse of Scripture that speaks of him not raising his voice. And this wisdom is easy to be entreated. In other words, it's willing to listen. It's willing to listen, and it's quick to forgive. And it's very opposite of that overbearing spirit. My way or the highway. That's not the wisdom that comes from above. And number five, this wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Someone said the person with this heavenly wisdom knows who maketh us to differ from another. That is God. And also knows from whom our help comes. Number six, this wisdom is without partiality. It doesn't show respect to one person or the other. It treats all the same. And lastly, this wisdom is without hypocrisy. We don't try to feign before God. He knows our hearts. He knows all about us. Nor do we try to put on a face to others as well. It's without hypocrisy. Now, a man, one of the Proverbs says, a man must show himself friendly to have friends. We must be friendly with others. And so there's a lot of negativity that we could express to others, but what good would it do? Whatsoever you do, the apostle said, do all for the glory of God. And it would be good if we could ask ourselves before speaking, will this be for God's glory? Oh yeah, it's true. It's true. What you're going to say is true, no doubt about it. But is it for God's glory? Will it help the person? Will it help in any way? Well, there's just some practical things I believe the apostle gives us in this passage of Scripture. And I pray the Lord will bless this word to all of us here today. We all have a tongue, don't we? That's one thing for sure. We all have a tongue. Without the grace of God, it may cause a lot of difficulty. But with the grace of God and the blessing of God, it may be a great comfort and a great help to others. I trust it would be so. Let's sing this hymn, number 51.